Blog Talk Radio.
Basketball. We have a great show today. Have a wonderful guest coming to the show. ESPN contributor, writer, and man who does everything, Karen Mulvaney will join us in a few minutes. Feel free to call into the show. Give us your opinion on the big fights coming up this weekend. You have a couple of big fights toward the end of next month. The potential big fights coming up in the next few months with Cotto and Canelo and Mayweather fight in September. But, anything you guys want to talk about, feel free to call in. And we're going to have a good time. The second half of the show we'll dedicate to the NBA Finals because I know a lot of people want to talk about that. So we're going to, make that happen for everybody. And I want to discuss what the NBA Finals when LeBron James losing, how will this affect his legacy? In my opinion, I think his legacy is already set. He's a great player. I hear a lot of talk about people saying it was a failure, this, failure, that. One of the great players of all time, one of my favorite players, Magic Johnson, I believe he lost 5 times in the finals, went to the finals 10 times. So, we'll talk about that and even more, whatever you guys want to talk about. And hope you enjoy the show. This past weekend, I was able to go to Madison Square Garden and enjoy the really cool HBO card. I've never been to the theater at Madison Square Garden, so it was my first time there, and it was a unique venue. Got a chance to see one of the rising stars in Felix Verdejo, who really did a masterful job against Ivan Nahara. So he's a young guy on the rise. I wasn't too impressed with Nicholas Walters, but maybe he had things on his mind. He didn't make the weight. He was 1 pound over, which they made him strip. They stripped the belt from him. So I don't know if a fight is on the rise with Lomachenko. I'm not sure about that. Supposedly it may be in the United Emirates. So, I'm going to talk about the great world of boxing. Phil Flynn. And we'll get it going from there. Also, I would like to talk about this Floyd Mayweather situation. But in the meantime, I'm going to switch it over because I have a gentleman calling in. And Karen, are you there?
I certainly am. How you doing?
Hey, I have the great writer and contributor to HBO, Karen Mulvaney. How are you doing, sir?
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. How are you doing today?
All right. I told a few friends of mine I covered my first event in Los Angeles, and I was going around trying to feel of the whole place, getting a nerve out, and I saw you at the truck, and I walked over to you, and I told many people how gracious and friendly you were, so I just wanted to let you know before we even started. I was like, I really appreciated that.
Oh, not at all. It was my pleasure. It was great timing because, I was sort of standing around by the truck trying to figure out where to get my credentials. So I was wandering around lost, and there you were.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on the show. First, I want to start. I was reading your bio, and how did you, growing up in a seaside town in England, how did you get involved with boxing? I know, but for the listeners out there, explain how you got involved with boxing. It's very interesting.
Well, I've been a fan for a long time, like a lot of us. When I was growing up in the UK, I was particularly a fan of guys like Barry McGuigan, Nigel Benn, Chris Eubank, guys of that kind of generation. And then, you know, moved over to the States in 94. And for most of my life, I've worked on environment and science issues, actually. You know, I like written a book about polar bears. I've gone to led expeditions to the Antarctic and all of that, and had nothing to do with boxing. But I was, let me think, I think it was about 2003. I just published a book on whales and whaling, and I'd been writing about the environment and about science for like 18 years or something like that, and I needed a break. I wanted to do something completely different. And I was living in a cabin in Alaska. Always, like I said, always been a big fan of boxing. And I'd always wanted to go to Las Vegas. I used to watch the detective show with Robert Urich when I was in England in Vegas.
Yes,
he'd drive
hotel.
around
I
in a
remember
Ford
this.
Thunderbird, right? Loved
I remember
that show.
that.
And so I'd always wanted to go to Vegas. I was always interested in boxing. And I said to myself, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something completely different to recharge my batteries. I'll go to Vegas for 6 months, and I'll write about boxing in Las Vegas, and I'll write a book about boxing in Las Vegas. And so I did that. I spent about, in the end, about 8 months in Las Vegas and got to know a bunch of people and did some interviews and got credentialed to attend a bunch of fights. And put together a pretty extensive like proposal. It was really about a third of the book, and I liked it, my agent liked it, and we sent it to about 20 publishers, and they all said, oh, this is pretty interesting. Boxing fans don't buy books. And so all these publishers turned it down, and I'm like, oh, what am I going to do now? And it just so happened that by seeing me in the media room, you know, I'd gotten to know a few people, and someone said to me, hey, ESPN is looking for a features writer for boxing. Do you want to do, you know, you interested? And I thought, well, I've got to earn some money on this boxing thing somehow. I lost it all by not selling that book. So I started to write for ESPN, and then I started to do some writing for Reuters. And then a good friend of mine, like a real mentor when I showed up in boxing, was Bert Sugar. And he and I became very good friends. And a producer at HBO noticed, like, Bert and I having conversations and the way we interacted at the bar. And he's like, you know, we got to record you guys. And so they started shooting some video of Bert and me, and we would do like prediction shows for HBO. And subsequently, I started to do more and more work with HBO. And then for the last 18 months or so, I've moved exclusively over to them. And so I do, you know, video for them and writing for them. So it's an accidental career, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know what's? I'm glad you brought up the whole Bert Sugar. What was it like? Because I mean, God rest his soul, he's gone now. But how was it working with such a legendary writer, like, and I guess boxing historian like Bert Sugar? How was it working with him?
It was great, because Bert, for all his experience, and he didn't take himself even slightly seriously. He just enjoyed, he enjoyed all of it. He enjoyed, you know, candidly, he enjoyed the attention. He enjoyed having people, you know, to talk to who he could tell his terrible jokes to. you know, and it was often the same joke over and over again, and he'd forgotten he told it to you last time. And he liked me, you know. He saw me, you know, as, you know, someone for him to, you know, sort of for him to be a mentor, and he enjoyed doing that. And so, you know, we got on very well. And the fact that, you know, one of the things he liked, he said, you know what I like about you, Kieran? You like to have a drink. Nowadays, none of these people, they call themselves journalists. They're just looking at their computers. You do research in the bar, Kieran.
Right.
so we got on pretty well because of that. So I miss him very much. It was a lot of fun. It was always the highlight of my fight week was looking around and seeing that fedora in the crowd and going over and hanging out with Bert.
That's great. Now, I guess you, as you said, that led you to HBO. You are now, I guess, sort of like working with another Hall of Famer in Jim Lampley. How is that interaction with him? How do you like that?
Great. I actually spent a fair bit of this last weekend with Jim and went up to Canastota with him for his induction. I sat down and did about a 30-minute interview on camera with him about his career and about going into the Hall of Fame. And so we'll edit a couple of digital video pieces out of that. And there may also be part of that might actually be on the June 27th broadcast, the Timothy Bradley-Jesse Vargas fight. And
Okay.
then we all went up. It was kind of funny. The JetBlue flight on Sunday morning from JFK to Syracuse was pretty much a Jim Lampley slash HBO charter. He had
Okay.
11 members of his extended family with him, including his
Wow.
96-year-old uncle and 94-year-old aunt.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And then several of us from HBO. Jim's great, you know. I mean, I knew him first of all as like an interview subject. And if you ever interview Jim, he is the perfect interview subject because all you have to do, he speaks in beautifully constructed sentences. And
Absolutely. I agree with
oh,
that. I agree with
yeah, all you
that.
have to do is transcribe, cut and paste, and there's your article. It's fantastic. So he's great at that. He's an emotional guy, as people know,
Yes, he
and
is.
it was a very emotional weekend for him. And during our interview, he was like, "Oh, I kind of wish I wasn't so emotional. I wish people would say that, oh, that Jim Lampley, he always, you know, calls it straight and never gets caught up in it." And I said to him, "Jim, that's why you're good at what you do. It's
That's
because you
right.
convey that emotion and because you have that excitement." But yeah, he and Max and Harold is especially a character.
Yes.
Are all great, great guys to work with.
That's great. That's great. I don't know if you know, well, you probably do now. I remember as a kid listening to Jim Lampley on Saturdays with college football, and he was great doing that
Right.
as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And he did tennis when HBO had Wimbledon.
Yes.
He did that. So yeah, incredible. He's broadcast. I didn't realize this until did some research for sitting down with him. He's actually hosted more Olympics on TV than any other broadcaster. He
I
did like
believe that.
14 straight Olympics, I think, summer and winter,
Wow.
for NBC until the last
That's
couple,
incredible.
which I didn't realize. Yeah, amazing, huh?
Yeah, because I remember when he was with ABC Sports as well, and he was
Right.
doing Olympics back. I remember when Sugar Ray Leonard was at the Olympics, Jim Lampley was there.
Oh wow.
So
Wow,
that
really?
takes you
Wow.
back. Yeah.
You
Yeah,
should have won
but
raises.
where are you now? Where are you now, Karen? What's on your agenda right now? What are you covering?
Right now I'm at my home in Bristol, Vermont, and just came back from New York from doing the Nicholas Walters fight and Jim's induction, and just kind of chilling a little bit and doing stuff around the house until I head off to LA early next week for the Bradley fight, and that'll just about bring an end to what's been an ins I mean, for HBO, we've had such a crazy run of fights really since
Yes,
mid-April.
yes.
It's just been one after the other after the other. So, with the exception that now of the Sergey Kovalev fight in Las Vegas in July, we have
In July.
nothing scheduled after the Bradley Vargas fight. So I'm looking forward to getting on with some of my other work because I still do environment and science writing too, which is what I
Right.
really enjoy doing. And so I'm going to, get to grips with some of that for a couple months.
I didn't realize that you were a spokesman or the chief spokesperson for Greenpeace, which I thought was really cool, man.
Yeah, for a while that was my life. The main part of my life was every year I would go to the Antarctic and look for Japanese whaling ships and lead expeditions to
Oh.
try and, stop them from hunting whales and stuff. That was
Wow.
that was my life. And so yeah, going from there to boxing has been a bit peculiar, to put it mildly.
Yeah. I think that's one of the other things we have in common. I'm a lover of animals myself, so I really can
Oh, fantastic.
identify
Good for
with
you,
what you
man.
were doing. Yeah,
Good
man.
for you, yeah.
But I want to know, I want to get your take on some of the bigger issues going on, especially for HBO fighters. Number one, this past weekend, I happened to be in New York for Walters, and I was really impressed with Verdejo. What is your take on that young man?
I love Felix Verdejo. I've been ringside for, I think that was just the fourth time now. I mean, it was his first time on HBO, obviously, but, Top Rank has had him on undercards for a while. I think he's going to be a superstar. He's terrifically talented, isn't he? I mean, amazing hand
Yes,
speed,
he is.
power in both hands. Great personality as well. A fantastic smile. A really, really outgoing kind of guy. And, you could tell, from the crowd, Puerto Ricans have already really embraced him.
Absolutely.
He's a hugely popular. It was incredible, wasn't it? Like the atmosphere got sucked out of the
Oh,
arena after
man.
his fight was over. It was just incredible. I think, and this was a perfect fight for him to fight a guy who was that tough, who kept coming
Oh, man.
forward.
Oh, man.
Unbelievably tough guy, huh? And
I
so
don't know
now
how he
Badejo's
stood up,
learned.
man. I really don't.
Unbelievable, unbelievable. And kept coming forward. That was the amazing thing to me. And so that was great for Vallejo. So he needs some fights like that. He's going to be on the shelf for a little bit because he damaged his hand. But when he comes back, I think they'll give him a couple more tough fights like that because he needs to. Sometimes he needs to realize that sometimes he's going to have to go to a plan B or a plan C, and they'll do that for him. And I think probably the plan is by about the end of next year, maybe 12, 15 months from now, to put him into a title shot kind of a situation. Not rush him. They think they've got gold here with Verdejo, and I think they're right. And they want to do it exactly right, like move him into that title shot opportunity when he's ready and not before.
Absolutely. In between fights, I happened to go out and just get a feel for what the crowd thought of him. And you're right, the Puerto Rican fans are really have embraced him. And I look for big things. I feel he, I mean, if he keeps going on a rise like he is, he'll be loved like Cotto in that fashion in New York City. So there's a big Puerto Rican population there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's already feels like he's ready to transition and assume that mantle. And the big advantage that he has over Cotto is, from what I understand, is that, obviously Puerto Rican fans love Miguel Cotto as a fighter, but Cotto, as we know, has that particular kind of personality. He's pretty cool. He's not very outgoing. He's very private. And I think there's, from what I understand, there's never been quite the same love for affection, shall we say, for him as there was for Tito Trinidad, who is much more outgoing.
Exactly, right.
Verdejo seems to have much more of the Tito Trinidad about him in that respect. He's happy to be around people. He smiles. I mean, I managed to get Miguel Cotto to smile during an interview the other week, and I thought it was a huge triumph. But Verdejo, he's just so much more outgoing, and so I think that'll stand him well, and just only going to increase his popularity.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Miguel Cotto, and of course the talk now is the big potential match with Canelo Alvarez. Number one, do you think that will happen? And number two, when and where do you think that will happen?
Yeah, it's in principle there's a deal. The details have to be worked out. It will be October or November if it happens. Where is the big question? Lot of different sites in play. Probably one of New York, L.A., Las Vegas, or Dallas. Or perhaps another venue in Texas. I think probably the Canelo side would love for it to be in Texas, where he's such a big draw already.
Absolutely, that's right.
Cotto probably would prefer New York. So maybe it'll be neither as a result. Maybe it'll be Las Vegas. I wouldn't be surprised if it is. But if it doesn't clash with a Cowboys game in October or November, I mean, my
That's
goodness, how
right.
about that stadium for that fight? That would be something, huh?
And I guess the weird kind of way that things go now is sort of like the who's the A fighter, who's the B fighter. In
Exactly.
that situation,
Exactly.
who would you think would be the A fighter?
Oh, my God. Well, that's going to be 90% of the
Exactly.
discussion, isn't it? I mean, neither guy's going to back down on that. So
That's
that's
right.
gonna, yeah, there's gonna have to be a lot of ego massaging, and I think HBO is gonna have to be, my friend Peter Nelson and Ken Hirschman, they're gonna have to be like diplomats, like the Secretary of State
Exactly.
trying to get stuff sorted out because they're both gonna consider themselves the A side, no question.
That's right. Now it brings to mind two more young rising stars on HBO, Chocolatito and Lomachenko, who those two guys, in my opinion, Karen, I think are two of the technically skilled great fighters we have in the sport today. What's your take on both of those young men?
I agree with you. Fantastic. Love watching them. Love watching them. And of course, quite brilliant in very different ways. Chocolatito has that extra sort of explosiveness, but
Right.
Lomachenko, my goodness, the way he's able to stand in front of a guy and just pivot and move just with
Yes.
the slightest of movements and still be in front of a guy and be hitting him from different angles, and the opponent has
That's
absolutely
right.
no idea what to do with him. And then Chocolatito again, always in position. His footwork's
Yes.
sensational. His balance is sensational. And what an offensive force. I could tell you HBO is really excited to have him, and not only because excited to have him, but because he's got some real opponents. He could have
Oh, yes.
a rematch there with Estrada. You've got Brian Velorio's back in consideration. Inoue,
Yes.
that Japanese guy. Real exciting, real exciting to have both those guys. I mean, I'm biased, but I'm excited for HBO to have guys like Verdejo, Lomachenko, Chocolatito.
Oh,
You've got older
yes.
guys like Golovkin who are going to be around a while, Kovalev, Terence Crawford.
Yes.
I think we've got a great batch of young guys coming
Oh
through.
man, it's fantastic. I was looking at HBO's roster today, and I think it is fantastic. And now that you bring up Triple G, this may be a silly question, but is there any way that he will be in the running for the Floyd Mayweather sweepstakes?
The biggest difficulty with that would have to be that HBO and Showtime would have to work together again. And after the
Again.
Mayweather-Pacquiao experience, I don't think anyone's too keen
Right.
on that. I don't think Floyd's going to take that fight. And I wouldn't if I were him. Like, what's the point? I don't feel like he has anything left to prove. He's guaranteed whatever he's guaranteed, $30 million on his last fight with Showtime anyway, so... So I wouldn't blame him for not taking that fight. It's the only fight left for Floyd that has any kind of sense of excitement about it.
That's what I think, right.
But yeah, I mean, everything else is an anticlimax now, right? But I just don't know. I don't see it happening. I think the just everything that would have to be involved would be so difficult. And and so you'd have all these parties working together for a fight. They would do less business than Pacquiao and Mayweather did.
That's right.
So I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe if when his deal is over with Showtime, if he decided to have a 50th fight and circumstances are slightly different, maybe. I mean, never say never with any of this, but I don't think it's likely. But I thought that the chances of Pacquiao ever fighting Mayweather were zero back in like January. So shows what I know.
Right. Right. What do you think is on the Pacquiao horizon? Do you think he's going to come back within the next year, or what do you
I
think is
don't
on his
know.
mind at
I
this
don't
point?
know. I was asking someone who's a close advisor of his that just the other day, and he doesn't know. I mean, a lot depends on. I guess he's coming back to the States to begin some rehab soon. And so that's considered kind of a good sign that he's already at, entering the kind of rehab stage with it, with his shoulder. So, I mean, at his age, you don't, I mean, gosh, you think, look, if he's out a year, I mean, I don't
That's
know.
right.
And,
That's right.
and what's his motivation? Does he still have that drive and
Right.
desire? I don't know. I really don't know. My guess would be that he'll come back and he'll have two more fights, one in back in Macau or Dubai or something like that, and a farewell fight in the Philippines. That would be my guess. But it's purely a
That
guess.
sounds right. Right. And what do you take on? And see, I answered this question to the gentleman actually at the fight Saturday, and he asked, what did I think Pacquiao's legacy would be after the Mayweather fight? And I think the guy's fantastic. He's already a Hall of Famer before the fight. I just think the guy's one of the great fighters of our time in the last 20 years. Do you feel the same way, or?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, so it turns out that he's the second best fighter of the generation. But,
That's right.
that's all, no one will ever forget that run that he went on when he beat Diaz and Hatton and Oscar De La Hoya and Cotto.
Yeah.
that run that he went on, Margarito and Claudie,
yeah,
and you know, and Mosley. I mean, it was a tremendous, tremendous run.
And he didn't
it was
win,
an exciting
Karen.
Time.
He really beat those guys. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and you know, I mean, way back when he was first emerging, he made Marco Antonio Barrera basically quit. He destroyed Eric Morales twice. I mean, fabulous. I mean, just it is a terrific legacy. And then, you know, what he also brought to the sport from what he did outside the ring, you know, what he meant to the Philippines is on a level that's really hard for us to grasp, I think, really, just how important he is to that country. And you know, and just you know, the sort of happy-go-lucky attitude that he's had.
That's right.
Always been really nice. So no, I agree with you. It's in terms of his all-time rankings,
right,
in the top 50 or top 100. Yeah, he'll definitely lost a few notches because what was ultimately a fairly one-sided fight. But that's all. I think otherwise, I agree with you completely. His legacy secure, he'll sail into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and
we talk about it, wouldn't it be amazing if they retire at the same time and they go in the same year?
Mayweather. Oh, man, that'd be
great. Wouldn't
that
be
I actually would love that, Karen. What do you think?
Well, wouldn't that be something? That would be the year to go to the Hall of Fame, huh? Wow.
Yes, and I don't think people fully, especially here in the States, fully grasp the impact that guys like Pacquiao in the Philippines, Chocolatito in Nicaragua, Triple G in Kazakhstan, these guys are it in these countries.
Yeah.
And I don't think, you know, a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people, like in the old days, back 70 years ago when Joe Louis and those guys would fight and people would gather around a radio and grasp at every punch. And I think this is what these countries go through with these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, yeah, especially, you know, like you said, you know, Pacquiao in the Philippines. But, you know, like my native country, like Ricky Hatton, I mean, he was enormous. Mm-hmm. And partly, again, not only because his fights were exciting, but because of who he was, because he had no airs or graces about him. He was one of the, you know, man of the people, as it were. Absolutely, no question at all. I guess because we have so many big-name athletes, that we forget especially like the Philippines, especially Kazakhstan. I mean, my goodness, how many international superstars has Kazakhstan ever had? So, you know, and of course the Klitschkos in Ukraine and what they mean
absolutely
in Ukraine.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
So yeah, very much so.
Yes, I won't hold you. I just have one more question. I know you'll be out in Las Vegas for Bradley and Vargas, and that will be a big fight because I'm interested to see, number one, how Bradley comes back to form, and Vargas under Roy Jones. What's your take on that fight?
Well, Vargas has left Roy Jones.
He has.
He left him,
I did not know that.
He left him quite suddenly.
Roy,
sad to say, is continuing to fight and is training for a couple of his own fights. and Jesse just said, you know what, Roy, and this was really sudden, because you know what, Roy, I need someone who's going to be there all the time. And Roy says, okay, I get that. So Jesse doesn't go and find himself a conventional trainer. He doesn't go and get a Freddie Roach or somebody like that. He sits and he thinks and he prays on it. And he says, I'll ask Eric Morales to be in my corner.
Wow.
So Eric Morales is going to be in Jesse Vargas's corner. So
when
I can't imagine
happen?
Two more really recently, like in the last couple of weeks. Yeah, so you can't imagine a more different kind of fighter to teach you than Eric Morales compared to Roy Jones. So, you know, so I have no idea how that's going to work. And do you want to make that kind of change before the biggest fight of your career so far?
No, that's crazy to
me.
I'm not sure if I agree with that one.
Exactly, you know. And I thought he was doing well with Roy, and Roy certainly enjoyed training him. And Jesse likes Roy, but he just felt reasonably enough that he needed a guy who could be there all the time for him. So I don't know. So I'm curious. And, you know, I really like Jesse Vargas. I like him as a person.
Okay.
He's a really, really nice guy. I keep waiting for him to make that extra step as a fighter, and he never seems to. he always is just that bit better than the guy he's fighting. And at the same time, I think Tim Bradley is slipping a little bit. And
I think so too, yeah.
Yeah. Has he slipped enough for Vargas to be the guy to beat him? I don't know that that's the case. I don't think it's a great fight for Vargas. I would have preferred, if he wanted to make a step up, I would have preferred, if I were Jesse Vargas, his people to have fought, say, a Bam Bam Rio, someone who's going to be there in front of him.
Okay.
Bradley's going to be difficult for him, I think. But I think it's going to be a pretty decent fight, actually. And it'll be a good barometer for both guys. I favor Bradley, I think, because of his speed and experience and ability. But, you know, we'll see what Vargas brings. And we just have no idea what an Eric Morales-trained Jesse Vargas looks like. So
That would be interesting to see.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Indeed. You know what, man? I really, really appreciate you coming on. You were fantastic. Absolutely.
Thanks very much, man. Thank you. Thank you for asking me. It's certainly my pleasure.
No, I wanted to know maybe in periodically, you know, if you could come on maybe for 5 or 10 minutes and let us know, you know, update on a big fight or something. I would really appreciate it. And if callers would too. Yeah.
Of course. Absolutely.
I know I'm new to the game.
My pleasure.
Yeah, but people like you, I was fortunate enough to interview Larry Holmes last week.
Fantastic.
That was my first show. And
that's
you,
not a bad start. That'll do.
No, man. I tell you what, and it's like I'll tell him, and I'll tell you the same. I'm young. I'm new to the game, but you guys give me instant credibility as guys who know the sport. And for you to come on here for a little guy like me, I really, really appreciate it, man.
Mind you, though, you're going downhill. From Larry Holmes to me, I mean, it's getting, you know.
No, don't say that, man. Yes, indeed. But, yeah, I would love to have you again. I really appreciate it, man.
You bet. Thanks very much for the invite. It was great to chat, and I'll be happy to come on back.
All right. Thanks, Kara.
Take care, man.
All right. There we have it, the great Karen Mulvaney, HBO. Great guy. Like I said, when I met him, it's so easy for these guys to just brush you off when you're out, you know, trying to make a name for yourself, especially as a boxing blogger. But for him to take the time to, you know, he actually took my business card, believe it or not, and, you know, he gave me some words of advice when I was in Los Angeles, and he came through for me again. He said, whatever I wanted to come on the show, just call him, and that's what he did. And I cannot complain about the first 2 weeks of the show. It's been fantastic. I'm hoping you guys really enjoy it. So if you want to call in, we can switch gears now. If you guys want to talk basketball, boxing, football, baseball, I'm free to talk whatever you want in the next 20 minutes. So, but yeah, he brought up some very interesting points as far as the big fights, as far as Mayweather and not sure what his next opponent will be. Triple G, not sure if he'll want to fight him. That's maybe somebody he wants to stay away from in his last fight. And I'm really interested to see that. Also, I want to switch gears. I was talking about LeBron James and his legacy. I think the guy's great. I don't know. I hear a lot of people saying, well, he's lost 4 and this and that, but he's been to 6. And I think that's the bigger point to make, that the man has won the 6 finals, victorious in 2. He's a fantastic player. I don't know what else to say about him. They met a better team. Unfortunately, they had to overcome some injuries with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. But LeBron, he did the best he could to put on his shoulders, but I think it was too much to overcome. Interesting to see in the offseason what Cleveland will do here, what Miami will do to help their chances. I already think they have a pretty good team. I assume they'll add some more pieces. Out in the West, I guess Oklahoma City and the Clippers are really the two teams you got to look at along with teams like a San Antonio, who always seem to be there at the end of the season. But We'll just have to wait and see on that. But as far as Oklahoma City, you know, with the Durant injury, he'll probably be back healthy and ready to go. You got Portland and Memphis and a whole slew of teams out west that can do some damage. So, again, feel free to call in. Number is 718-305-6496. That's 718-305-6496. So, let you guys call in whatever you want to talk about. Even if you want to talk baseball, hockey, football, it doesn't matter. So we'll see what's going on. I'm just getting updates as I speak. I'm looking at the scoreboard now just to see what's going on. In the baseball tonight, you have Tampa Bay going against Washington. Washington 3 games over .500. They're trying to fight off a couple injuries, but they'll seem to try to get it together against Tampa Bay, who's 36-30, and they've been on a hot streak. Everybody in the American League East has been hot. Baltimore Orioles have been playing fantastic. They are playing the lowly Philadelphia Phillies. I don't know if I've seen a worse team since the 76 Bad News Bears, because the Phillies suck. I'm sorry to say it. They are terrible. And they lost by 2 touchdowns and a safety last night against the Orioles, 19-3. It's totally ridiculous. You got the Mets going against Toronto. Toronto's 34-32 as well. So they're basically tied with the Orioles, both 1 game out. Boston and Atlanta, Detroit, Cincinnati. Pittsburgh has really been playing well, 37-27. They're putting the thing together again. They're going against the White Sox in Chicago, which will be pretty interesting. Out west, you got San Diego against Oakland. Both of these teams are under .500. That's a 10-05 start. But yeah, you got Texas against the Dodgers. You got Clayton Kershaw, who, in my opinion, is the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, I know right now his ERA is about 3.21, but the guy's fantastic. There's a second coming to Sandy Koufax. This guy is it. So, besides, I'm partial to left-handers, but he's fantastic. But yeah, whatever you guys want to talk about, please call in and let me know what's on your mind. 718-305-6496. We can talk boxing some more. Stanley Cup Finals, Chicago Blackhawks took the cup, so you want to call in and talk about that? Yes, we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller, your name and where you calling from?
Hey, chilling with you. This is Reggie. I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland. I'm calling you to talk a little bit about LeBron.
Yes, sir.
I really thought they was going to pull it off. Me and my grandson had a little bet, and I really thought they was going to pull it off. But once they lost Kyrie and Love, LeBron had just had to go to work. He had to do some work. You know, and I really think it was a really good series altogether. Thought it was going to go to whole seven, and whoever won, they were going to earn it. You know,
right.
Between Curry and LeBron, they were going to make the King champion. They were going to make them work for it. They weren't going to be given to them. But I enjoyed the
right.
series.
You know what? I really
know.
Thought game six that Cleveland was going to win to take it to game seven back to Golden State, but Golden State.
Right.
And they actually turned out they played Eastern Conference basketball in the fourth quarter because they didn't back down and they didn't let the home crowd of Cleveland get to them. So I thought that was
resilience
on that part. That's right.
No, they didn't. But I think it would have been one of the best series in a long time.
Yeah.
You know,
what's your take on LeBron's legacy? How do you feel about where he will stand amongst the greats in the game?
He's one of the greats. People try to compare him with Jordan and some of the other, other ones. And I can't put myself into that. I have to look at it, what's going on today, this year.
That's right.
You know, I can't look at it, you know, if it was LeBron and Jordan. I can't look at it like that because Jordan was old, you know, in a different time, you know. I can't match LeBron up against any other player like that because, you know, it's a different time. I'm looking at LeBron today. Eventually, LeBron will finish his career and it's going to be somebody else come along. And somebody
That's
else
right.
is going to try to compare him with LeBron. I mean, at today, he's one of the greatest, if not
That's
the
right.
greatest. You know, considering he yeah. came out of high school and went straight to the pros. I mean, he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest. You know?
Yeah, I have to say I agree. I think he's fantastic. I don't buy that stuff when people says, well, he's lost 4 championships because as I stated in the beginning of the show, one of my favorite of all time, Magic, he lost 5 times in the finals. But
true,
he also
true.
Won 5 times. To get there, you got to be one of the best, and he definitely gets there. It just doesn't
yeah.
finish, you know, once he's there. But
right,
yeah, it can take
right.
nothing from him.
Right. But now it's time to get, I'm getting ready for some football now.
That's indeed. Who's
I'm getting ready
team?
For my football, and I'm getting ready for my 49ers. I ain't got my stuff out,
oh,
so I'm ready
49ers.
For a training camp. Yes, yes, yes.
I understand.
Yes.
I understand.
You know?
Yep.
So I just wanted to call in and give you my take on it.
I appreciate it, caller. I hope you guys stay listening to me. Catch me next week at the same time.
Sure will. Sure will.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right.
So we had a caller who obviously is a 49ers fan. So that was cool. His take was that LeBron is going to be great regardless, and I kind of agree with that. I mean, all the take about, you know, not winning every year is kind of ridiculous to me. But nevertheless, if anybody wants to call in, number 718-305-6496. 718-305-6496. Yes, I know this is a little off the cuff, but I know there's a wrestling fan out there, and I'd be remiss if I did not say rest in peace to the great Dusty Rhodes. I guess as a kid, we all used to watch wrestling, and he was one of the most flamboyant guys in the ring. So, I just wanted to send him a message, rest in peace, and yeah, nevertheless, 718-305-6496, 718-305-6496. If you missed it earlier, I had a wonderful guy, Karen Mulvaney of HBO Sports. If you haven't listened to this guy, and if you haven't, don't know who he is, please, YouTube, do whatever you have to do, pull his name up on the internet. He's one of the most fascinating guys you'll ever meet, especially in the world of boxing. Guy's a well-rounded individual, and he knows a lot about a lot. And I was so fortunate to have him to call in. So hopefully, I guess, down the line, he'll give us updates on certain events coming up. But, it was a real honor to have him as my second guest on the show. Yeah, the show's